Hello and welcome, glory to God, for He is good. Each new morning His mercies are new. And so we praise Him, and He loves you and cares for you and wants to build you up. So we're going to be looking at the source, which is the Word of God, which is alive and powerful, and allow us to build our life upon God's firm foundation, upon His truth. And His truth is the thing that sets us free from the bondage of sin and death, is the thing that gives us hope and salvation, gives us clarity in our life and direction, and allows us to know our identity in Christ. So today we're looking into the Word of God to see what God has to teach us, which is about the unexpected messengers. And let me tell you guys about the things that were upcoming to this passage. So pretty much the Israelites, Northern Kingdom, they were surrounded by the Syrian army, and they were experiencing great famine within the land. And what happened was that it was so bad that the prices of things became so inflated, so expensive, that they could not afford to eat, feed themselves, and the famine was great because the enemies, they blocked off all the supplies that were coming in to the city. So they were at a loss right now. And then there was cannibalism, there was terrible things happening. But in the last passage, four lepers were wondering, well, if we stay here outside the city, then we're gonna die, we're gonna starve to death. But if we go to the Syrian army, then maybe, just maybe, they might give us a chance and give us some food so that we may survive. And so now, when they went to the camp, to the Syrian army, what happened was they found that it was totally, completely abandoned. There was no one there. And plus, the camps were still there, but no one was there. The armies were gone, but they left their gold, their silver, their food, all these resources there because they heard a great army coming, a chariot. And they were afraid, and so they ran away. And so here, we are picking off with the Word of God, continuing on with this. So hello and welcome everyone. God bless you. And we know that God has great things prepared for us in the Word of God. So, praise God, praise God. Yes. I'm checking my server, trying to log into... What am I going online? It says network unavailable. But okay, that's okay, that's okay. So, 2 Kings chapter 7, verse 11 to 20. It says, the gatekeepers shouted the news, and it was reported within the palace. And the king got up in the night and said to his officers, I will tell you what the Arameans have done to us. They know we are starving, so that we have left the camp to hide in the countryside, thinking that they will surely come out, and then we will take them alive and get into the city. Wow. And one of the officers answered, have some men take five of the horses that are left in the city, and their plight will be all that of all Israel, the Israelites left there here. Yes, they will only be like all these Israelites who are doomed. So let us send them to find out what happened. So they selected two chariots with their horses, and the king sent after the Aramean army, and he commanded the drivers, go and find out what happened. And so they followed them as far as the Jordan, and found the whole road strewn with the clothing and equipment the Syrians had thrown away in their headlong flight as they were running away. So the messengers returned and reported to the king, and the people went out and plundered the camp of the Syrians, Arameans. So a seah of flour sold for a shekel, two seah of barley sold for a shekel, as the Lord has said. And the king had put the officer on whose arm he leaned in charge of the gate, and the people trampled him in the gateway, and he died. just as the man of God had foretold when the king came down to his house. And it happened as the man of God had said to the king, about this time tomorrow, a seah of flour will sell for a shekel, or two seah of barley for a shekel at the gate of Samaria. And the officer had said to the man of God, look, even if the Lord should open the floodgates of heaven, could this happen? The man of God had replied, you will see it with your own eyes, but you will not eat of any of it. And that is exactly what happened to him, for the people trampled him in the gateway, and he died. Wow, this passage is amazing. It shows how God's promises, how God's words come to pass. And we can see it's a good news of God's wonderful deliverance that was shared by the four leopards. And this is a clear picture of sharing the good news of the gospel, sharing the good news of Jesus Christ, and sharing how it's not the end when we are lost and broken. It's not the end when we're just saved, because we are called to the Great Commission, called to share the Word of God, called to share the love of God with other people. And so this is a clear picture of sharing the good news of the gospel within the masses to the people and who are starving spiritually. And note how the drama painted by the scripture emphasizes the importance of missions. Those who are starving, hungering, thirsting for life must be fed spiritually. Only God can feed their souls and give them life abundant, now and forever and ever, for eternity. And for this reason, the good news of God's deliverance must be proclaimed to the starving masses. We must proclaim it, the good news, the love of God, and that people can also have hope, eternal hope in Christ. And so here we can see how the blockage ended, which was shared by the four leopards, a picture of sharing the good news with the starving masses spiritually. And the good news should be shouted out, spread of a chain by a chain of sharing. The leopards to the gatekeepers to the people and officials, and the officials to the king. And the questioning, doubting of the good news, the king suspected a strategic plot by the Syrian army in an attempt to lure him out and his people out of the city so that they can capture them, so that they can trick them. And the verifying of the incredible news was a suggestion made by the officer to send out several spies to find out exactly where the Syrians were. And the king approved of this suggestion, and he had two chariots and their horses selected and sent the scouts out to locate the Syrians. And the spies followed the Syrians as far as the Jordan River, about 25 miles away, and found equipments and clothing scattered all along the road by the Syrian armies as they fled in panic. And the spies, they returned and verified the good news that they were safe, that the plunder, the siege has ended. And the claiming of God's deliverance by the people rushed out to secure the food and to claim the plunder. And the word of God was fulfilled. The cost of food was lowered, the keen chef aide was trampled into death at the gateway. Hello, welcome. And the fact that he died just as Elisha had predicted, and the reason is that he ridiculed and spoken sarcastically concerning God's promise of deliverance. And the conclusion is that God's word was fulfilled as predicted. Amen. Mish, Elise. Amen. Praise God. God is good. And so, Lord God, we thank you for this word. We thank you for leading us. And we pray that you would just guide us, teach us, and allow us to absorb your word, which is alive and powerful, sweet like honey, and powerful enough to change our life and to equip us with everyday needs. And Lord God, I pray that you would allow us to be able to be humble enough to receive your word, to receive your blessings, your goodness, your mercy in our life. Lord, thank you so much, for you have never failed us, and you have not forsaken us or left us, for you have come through for us all the time. So Lord, we accept your gift, your wisdom, and everything that you have to offer us. And in Jesus' name, amen. Stick to the end, because we know God is working. And we know this passage is powerful and live. And we know that God is able to transform your life through this live stream. So may you be blessed, and may you be able to bless others as you are blessed as well. And so there's two reflections here that is applicable to me and applicable to you. So let's read it. Number one is believing the messenger. And number two is troubled by truth. And so the king, he does not believe the leopard's report. And they went and they plundered and they gained all the wealth that they could accumulate. But then they made a conscious choice to report to the king so that he would not kill them, so that he would not say, "Oh, you didn't tell me." And so when he heard the report, he was reluctant to believe because the messengers were lepers. The messengers were people who were just the outcast of the cities. He was like, "Wow, is this a trick by the Syrian armies to bring me down?" And disbelieving what a person says because of our own preconceived notions about certain types of people is kind of bias. And sometimes God wants to show you something new, but you're not ready to receive it. You're not ready to accept the truth or that newness that God has given you. And you may expect Him to work in certain ways, to speak through certain people, like someone popular, a celebrity, or something, someone well known. Or maybe you are the unexpected person that God wants to use to accomplish His mission. Whether you're the listener or the messenger, you can be instruments of the Lord, and God can carry His work out through you as He chooses, even when you are not the chosen people others expect. So we glorify God. You see, I myself, a lot of people did not think I would be speaking to others at this moment. A lot of people made fun of my speech ever since I was young till I got older, even to this day. They're like, "Your speech, I don't understand. You might as well use AI to use your speech because they are more enunciation. They have better pronunciations and we can understand them better." But, you know, God uses the broken. He uses the lost. He uses the rejected. He uses people who are unlikely to become His servant, but He's able to use their weakness. And in their weakness, His power, His strength is made perfect. And so we glorify God because He uses us, even though we're not perfect, even though we might not have everything together. And so we're talking about Jesus, how Jesus is the way, the truth, the life, how Jesus is the one that leads us towards the right direction. So believing the messenger, you see, in Jesus' time, when Jesus was alive, He went around town preaching about the kingdom of God. But then, even though He is God, people did not believe in Him. People did not believe what He was saying. People were coming to look at the signs and wonders that were abounding in the upon, like, just beyond their imagination, beyond what is normal in the eyesight. And so, just like Jesus was the rejected messenger of God, rejected prophet, rejected God, we too, as servants and followers of God, we too will experience that rejection. But God chooses you to use you for something greater, for a life that is beyond what you can imagine. And so, you, yes you, you guys are special. And you guys don't have to doubt yourself, because God says you are chosen, you are loved, you are My messengers, you are ambassadors of God, you are a holy nation, you are royal priesthood, you are a nation here to be a light of the world, to be the salt of the earth. You are chosen. You see, God used Moses, God used Abraham, God used David, Solomon, Isaac, Jacob. He used all these people. He used different prophets. These people, they were unbelieving. They were, well, they had faith in Jesus. Oh, no, faith in God. But then, there was time when they did mistakes. They made mistakes. Abraham, he had a child, Ishmael, because he did not believe for his own bloodline, Isaac. There was a sin of Moses, who said, I'm not good at speaking. I'm not good enough, who doubted himself. There was King David, who was adulterous, wanting Bathsheba. There was Solomon, who married foreign wives and didn't destroy all the idols. But yet God still used them. God used Jonah when he ran away from God and his instruction to go to Nineveh. God used the unlikely. So, yeah. Number two is trampled by truth. The truth has a way of overcoming anything in its path. Some may deny it because it makes them uncomfortable or because of what it would require them to do. Others, like the captain in this passage, deny it because they think it is impossible. Eventually, however, the truth becomes undeniable. The truth comes to light, and the truth will be revealed, and all will see it. All will see it and confess with their mouth that Jesus is Lord, and every knee will bow, every tongue confess, and recognize He is the Lord, our God, above all universe, above all creation. Glory to God. Amen. Praise God. So in scriptures, we see that some people would prefer prophets who declare positive, encouraging messages. However, God sends His true prophets to deliver messages of judgment. They are challenging, rebuking, being sarcastic to the call they are just like denouncing God in front of people and saying, no, you don't need God. No, you don't need to repent. But we need it. We need it. Keep on preaching. Thank you so much, United Gaiman. And then sometimes the messages that challenge you are the very messages that you need. These judgment, these messages may be difficult to understand, but it's sometimes something that you need to hear. You need to ingrain into your heart. Right now I feel really tired, but the message, the show must go on. Rather than avoiding the message, you can embrace them. Allow God to shape you into who He wants you to become. So, being troubled by truth, the chef that denied God and His word, he saw what happened, yet he did not eat of any of it, just like Elisha has predicted. And so, I think the reflections today are mid, but it's still important that we're able to reflect on the truth and let the truth be released and set out. But some of you guys may feel like, wow, the message is important and it actually resonates with you. And so, take it in. Let God work on you. Amen. Liz says, I feel unlikely. And then Mish says, He calls unqualified and qualifies them. Amen. And then Cass says, He prunes and refines us, and we are the vine. He's the vine dresser. And He cuts out, deletes those things that are pulling us down, that are holding us back from growing, from optimizing our path to serving Him. And so it's so important
to walk in the ways of the Lord, to let Him be our guide. Let Him be the truth that we walk by. Amen. Amen.
Praise God. I gotta sit up, guys. Ooh. Okay, there we go. Wow. Sleeping so well. So good. Keep sleeping. Keep receiving the word of God. So back to 2 Kings chapter 7, verse 10 to 20. The leopards, they did not wait until morning to rush back to the famished, hungry people with the news. For the news of God's deliverance was too important to wait for daybreak. Rushing back in the middle of the night, they shouted the good news, shouted it to the gatekeepers. And afterwards, the chain of sharing was launched, and the leopards to the gatekeepers, gatekeepers to the people, and the people to the royal officials, and the royal officials to the king. And all the starving people heard the good news that food was available outside of the city. They heard it, and the Syrians had broken their siege, and they left their camp intact. They didn't pack up and go. No, they left everything behind, their gold, silver, and food. All the food and plunder were there. But note the response of the king of Israel, King Jeroboam. He questioned and doubted the good news. He suspected the strategic plot by the Syrian army in an attempt to lure his people and him out of the city in order to capture them, to trap them. And then, in consultation with his cabinet officials, King Jeroboam accepted the advice of an officer to verify the incredible news. Several spies were sent out to determine whether and where the Syrians were, whether they're trapping them or not. And then, this was critical to let the king know exactly what was going on before letting the starving population flood out the city gates to gather the food and plunder the Syrian camp. And approving of this suggestion, King Jeroboam had two chariots prepared and then sent several scouts and spies to locate the Syrians. And the scouting parties followed the Syrians as far as the Jordan River, which was about 25 miles from the capital of Samaria. All along the road and everywhere they looked, they found equipment, clothing, food, and gold and silver scattered by the Syrians as they fled in panic. Wow. And returning to Samaria, the spies gave their report, verifying the good news. Just like hearing the good news of Jesus, how He rescues us from sin, death, darkness, how He brings us out of that dark place into His glorious, marvelous light. And we could give Him praise for that. And upon hearing the good news, the people rushed out to secure food and claim the plunder. And this is a clear picture of people hearing the good news of God's deliverance and rushing out to claim His wonderful salvation, claim the wonderful joy, everlasting peace, everlasting love that God has for us. And note that the word of God was fulfilled exactly as Elisha. And the cost of food was lowered, inflation went down, prices were affordable, and people no longer had to starve anymore. And so the 5 quarts of flour was sold that day for 1 ounce of silver, and 10 quarts of barley grain were sold for 1/2 ounce of silver. In addition, the king's chef, a chief official, was killed at the city gate, where he had been stationed to control the traffic. And obviously, he was somehow knocked in the mad rush and trampled to death. And he died just as Elisha predicted, because he ridiculed and spoken in sarcastically about God's promises of deliverance, and he was condemned to die. And this is exactly what happened to him. God's word was fulfilled exactly as predicted by Elisha, God's prophet. And so there's an excellent application that you can take away from this, which is well worth quoting entirely, by Russell Dilde. It says, "To have any great gift, wealth, education, freedom, and not share it is evil. Using such gift only for selfish purpose without regarding the needs of others is a serious sin. Never is that more true than with the gift of salvation. Do you think that you are more important enough that you are the ultimate end of God's mercy? Do you dare assume that God loved you enough that he sent his son Jesus to die for your sin alone? No, no, absolutely not. He saves you and empowers you so that you can become channels and holy vessels, broken vessels, through his blessings may flow to other people. You are blessed to be a blessing. Amen. And so Paul, he wrote that God comforts us so that you may be able to comfort those who are in trouble with the comfort with which you yourself are comforted by God. And you are to become links in his great chain of transmission, passing on your experience with the Lord to others. Now, as witnesses, you should also remember that it is the message, not the messenger, that is important. The message of God is important, not the messenger. So I myself, I'm not important, but the message that God has for us, it is alive, powerful, and important, crucial for you, so that you may have this same eternal life that God offered to me, to you. And so, God does not always choose great people to be his messengers. The Samaritan lepers were weak and unlikely instruments for God. They could only tell what they have seen and tasted, but that was enough. Just because you consider yourself ordinary and inadequate does not mean that you, therefore, are excused from the Great Commission, from the responsibility of personal witnessing. God never requires his witnesses to be walking encyclopedias or theological knowledge or champion debaters or persuasive salesmen. He only expects you to be faithful conveyors, messengers of the good news, of the gospel, of his love. No matter how weak, how untalented you consider yourself to be, the passage reminds you that it is a sin to remain silent. You know what? God is good. God is good. Hallelujah. And so you are chosen. In Acts chapter 4, verse 20, it says, "For we cannot speak about what we have seen and heard. For we cannot stop speaking about what we've seen and heard." And in Acts, which is short for Acts of the Apostles, Acts of those who encountered God, encountered Jesus, and saw his miracles, the Acts of the Apostles. You cannot stop speaking about what you've seen, what you testified, what you gathered in your own senses about what God has done. You cannot stop. Acts chapter 5, verse 20 to 21 says, "Go, stand up, and speak to the people in the temple the whole message of this life, the gospel, the good news." And upon hearing this, they entered into the temple about daybreak to begin to teach. Now when the high priest and his associates came, they called the council together and even all the senate of the sons of Israel and sent orders to the prison house for them to be brought. Wow. People spoke the word of God. And then there were the false Pharisees, false teachers, who were trying to stop God's word from being spread. But it cannot be stopped. God cannot be stopped. It's been 2,000 years since Jesus came, and the word of God still is alive and powerful. It's still being preached, and we are hungry for more than ever for the word of God. For Jesus is the bread of life. Jesus is the living water, so that we may never have to hunger and thirst again in our soul. Praise the Lord. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 13. "But having the same spirit of faith, according to what is written, I beloved, therefore I spoke. I believed, therefore I spoke. We also believe, therefore we also speak." So if you truly believe in Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior, who came to die on the cross for your sin and raised from the dead after 3 days, defeating that sin and death and your situation. If you believe, you type Amen, because we know that God is alive. He's powerful. And we speak it. We agree with it. And we say, Lord, all you have, I long for. All I am is yours. And there's no one like you. And so I will follow you all the days of my life. And I will share your good news. Share your word. Share your promises. Share your truth. So that I alone, so we don't have to live in prison to the bondage of the world, to sin, so that we may be set free in the name of Jesus. Amen. So you believe, you speak. You believe and you speak. Glory to God. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 19 to 21. It says, namely, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and he has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Reconciliation. Therefore, you are ambassadors for Christ. As though God was making appeal through us, we beg you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled, be redeemed to God, our Father. Come into a relationship with him, just like he has built you up to do. Praise the Lord. And so, we are to be reconciled to God. We are not to live our life in a way which is disobeying him. We are to live in life that is to glorify him and to lead others to him. We are ambassadors of God. Being ambassadors of God, that means he's backing you. That means he's saying, yes, you are my good and loyal and righteous servant, and I will approve of your message that I have given you. You are the messengers of God. You have great purpose in your life. Amen. Elizabeth, thank you, Ricky. Glory to God. And so we are ambassadors. We are called for greater purpose. We are called beyond what we can imagine. And so we must pour out our heart to love others just as God has loved us. It may be painful. It may be uncomfortable. It may not happen overnight. But through patience, through the power of the Holy Spirit, things must and will get done. Amen. So, let God continue guiding you, leading you in everything that you do. Do not give up. And yes, thank you, Patricia. We have same matching color, both wearing red. Now, I chose this. My wife chose this, red. I didn't know we would match. But he is so peaceful. And so, we're being filled spiritually, as always. Glory to God. Shalom. Yes. Hello, hello. Yeah. God bless you guys. We are called to the Great Commission, to go into all the earth, preaching and teaching and sharing the good news, the Word of God, sharing about Jesus, and baptizing others in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, so that they may have this life eternal with us. Glory to God. And that's why I'm here, sharing the word of God, being an ambassador. Remember, the messenger is not important, but the message is important. God, Jesus, is important, not me. And that's why I say, may you increase, Jesus increase in my life. May you be the one they see. And may I decrease, not for my own sake, but for your sake. To be humble and recognize that all the success that I have, it's God's way. It's God's power. I could not have done it on my own. So I give all glory to God.
Amen.
2 Timothy chapter 2 verse 2 says, "The things which you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, entrust these to faithful men who will be able to teach also others also." Paul is speaking to Timothy, instructing him to commit the word of God to faithful men who walk in his ways and who shall not, so that they can also teach others. Glory to God. Timothy, Titus chapter 2, verse 15 says, "These things speak and exhort and reprove with all authority. Let no one disregard you." The word of God encourages, rebukes, builds up with all authority. And that's why we rely on the word of God. We don't rely on our own word. We absolutely must turn to God in everything that we do, in everything that we say, in every decision that we make. Let it not be our own words. Let it be words that lift people up, build them up. Amen. So if it's going to tear them down, sometimes some people need that. But it's with patience, with love. We don't just come and say, you're not a Christian. We don't just call them names. No. We absolutely must embrace them, guide them, lead them towards the right direction. Be patient. We don't call others name. Then Psalm chapter 66 verse 16 says, "Come in here, all you that fear God, and I will declare what he's done for my soul." Amen. Isaiah chapter 43 verse 10. It says, "You are my witnesses, declares the Lord, and my servant whom I have chosen, so that you may know and believe me and understand that I am he, I am God. Before me, there is no God formed, and after me, there shall be none after me." Thank you. Isaiah chapter 63 verse 7. "And I will make mention of the loving kindness of the Lord, the praises of the Lord, according to all that the Lord has granted us, and the great goodness towards the house of Israel, which he has granted them according to his compassion, and according to the abundance of his loving kindness." And Malachi chapter 3 verse 16. "And those who fear the Lord spoke to one another, and the Lord gave attention, and who heard it. And the book of remembrance was written before him for those who feared the Lord and who esteemed his name." Whew. Difficult stuff today. But yeah, this boy, baby boy. Thank you. So, application question number 1 out of 4. Who would you define as an unexpected person for God's mission? Paul, Apostle Paul. Because he was Saul before. He persecuted, drove out Christians, believers, and he hunted them down like dogs and threw them in prison and beat them and tried to stop them. But when he encountered God on that road to Damascus, wow, he was converted. You're changed. He's a changed man. He's a new man. And he's on fire for God. Went on missions, sharing the word of God. So who would I define? Someone who can't speak very clearly. Someone who's not good at communicating. Someone who's unpopular. Unexpected people for God's mission. Like a fisherman, like Peter. A tax collector, like Matthew. And Peter's brothers, Judas, the money changer. I mean, guy who likes dealing with money. A lot of people, unexpected. God brought the unqualified and qualified them. Isn't that awesome? Someone wrote that on TikTok and I really like it. God brought the unqualified, or chose the unqualified, and he qualified them. We don't qualify ourselves. We don't. But God qualifies us. What unexpected task is he leading you to accomplish this week? Talking with my brothers and sisters in Christ, trying to lead them, guide them, show them the way. It's not easy. It takes wisdom. They're adults. They know what's going on. And so, it's going to be by wisdom, which I'm going to be talking to some of my students today, adults. I asked for it. I did. And now I have to struggle through it. But all glory to God. And I'm going to protect my flock, my sheep, that God has entrusted me. I'm going to continue loving them with all my heart. And so the last hour before I started this, I was thinking, or actually 2 hours, I was thinking about it, praying about it, asking God, going into the Word of God, different verses, in order to tackle this situation. Because it's too big for me. It is. It's overwhelming. Yeah. Number 3. What scriptural truth are hard for you to hear? That's an excellent question. Scriptural truth that's hard to hear. Well, a lot of people have problems in the world. And some scriptural truth that we must respect and have purity. Like scriptures, 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 18 to 19, 20. Hello, Cornelius Edward, welcome, thanks. It says, flee from sexual immorality. All other sins a person commits are outside the body, but whoever sins sexually sins against their own body. Do you not know that your bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit, who is in you, whom you have received from God? You are not your own, but you are bought with a price. Therefore, honor God with your bodies. Wow, powerful verse. I think today I'm going to be using this. Talking about respect and purity to your body. 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 1 to 2. Said, do not rebuke an older man harshly, but exhort him as if he was your own father. Treat younger men as brothers, older women as mothers, and younger women as sisters, with absolute purity. Purity in the mind, purity in the physical, purity in your ways. Purity is what God wants, because God is pure without blemish. He's holy. He's righteous. And then moving on to self-control and accountability. In Proverbs chapter 25, verse 28. It's like a city whose walls are broken through is a person who lacks self-control. Self-control is so important. And this verse really encourages one to develop self-control to avoid the pitfall of impulsive behavior. Pitfalls. In Galatians chapter 5, verse 22 to 23, he says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, forbearance, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things, there is no law. And this verse really reminds me that virtues comes from living by the Spirit, in the Spirit, which includes self-control. Hello, Mimi from Texas. Debbie, thanks for the follow. That one guy, welcome. Thanks for the follow. Glory to God. Amen. Then, so there's self-control, accountability, there's respect, purity, there's wisdom and guidance. There's a lot of work to be done. wisdom and guidance is James chapter 1, verse 5. If any of you lack wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously to all those who without finding fault, and it will be given to you. You see, if anyone lacks wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault. God is a generous God. He gives us generously knowledge, wisdom, discernment. He gives it to us, and some people are oblivious to it. Some people are aware of it or ignorant of it. But when you ask God, He will give generously without finding fault, and He will give it to you. So we're going to ask God in everything that we do for His wisdom in making decisions and understanding the consequences of our indecision. You see, indecision is a decision. So we must walk in the ways of God. It's a choice not to do anything. It's a choice to do things. So do things in the ways of Christ, in the ways He commanded you. Do things according to His will, to His promises, to His truth. Because Jesus is the way, the truth, the life. We do it according to Jesus, what He teaches us and how He leads us. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 to 6 says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, submit to Him, and He will make your path straight." And so this verse is to help us understand and trust in God's guidance rather than relying on our own impulses. And last of all, there's responsibility and accountability. Luke chapter 16, verse 10. It says, "Whoever can be trusted with very little can also be trusted with much. And whoever is dishonest with very little will also be dishonest with much." And this can be used to discuss about being responsible, trustworthy in all aspects of your life. Starting with your mind. You got to fill your mind with the right things, with things above and not earthly things, with desires of God and not the desires of the flesh, the desires of the world. Amen. Yeah, that's right. And so, this must be done in Christ. I know you're hot. I know. Let's make you more comfortable. There you go. How about that? Yeah. When his head is on my arm, it gets hot in between his head and my arm. Became so hot that kind of bothers him. Bothers me too. Makes me itchy down there. But it's all good. It's like his sweat on my skin. Ah! Too much. He's sweating. So, you know, it's pretty hot these days in California. 100 degrees Fahrenheit, and we have no air condition. Just a portable one that is not powerful enough to fill our whole room with air conditions. So it's hot. It is hot. But glory to God. Thank you. And so the second verse on this is Ephesians chapter 4, verse 22 to 24. It says, "You were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by deceitful desires, to be made new in the attitude of your minds, and to put on the new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness." And this passage really encourages transformation and living life that reflects God's righteousness and His holiness. And so that responsibility, accountability, so important. And so these four things, well, these things, eight things, are the things that I need to go through to raise up this recent graduate from high school. No longer a boy, a man. And my goal is to develop mighty men of God. And so I'm not just going to speak on my own accord. I'm going to do my research. I'm going to look into the Word of God. I'm going to study. I'm going to prepare so that it's not me speaking. It's God speaking. Amen. And so, it's going to take time. But by God's grace, I know for sure He will come through as I counsel the young adults, which just started last week, our first young adult group. And it's going well so far. But there are challenges, complication in its own realm as well. But all glory to God, because we know that ultimately God is in control, and God knows all things and sees all things. So these are scriptural truths that will be hard to hear for some people. But it must be spoken, must be looked at. So what helps you recognize their true values? Well, in my life, I believe I've been in that shoe before. I went to church before to meet people. Not necessarily to find girls, but yes, I did check girls out back then. But then I realized that when I committed my life to Him, then I should chase after God and God only. And that's when I decided to focus my eyes on God and God only. And that's 1 year later, my wife came along. Because I was fully focused on God. But if I was fully focused on chasing the desires of the flesh, of girls, then I would not have ended up with my lovely wife. I would have still been, probably been single to this day without this baby boy. Because I would be chasing the wind, the waves. I would be chasing things of the world which will never truly satisfy me, which will come to an end, which is temporary. And so, that's why chasing God is the number one way to go. Then, afterwards, you trust in Him. He'll bring the right people to you at the right time. Amen. Glory to God. And so these scriptural truths are important. I'm not only going to be speaking to one guy, but I'm also counseling the other guy too. Double. Two birds, one stone in one counseling session. And so this will be a time when, yeah, they're both growing. And I'm growing. I'm just at a different stage. And I know each one of us, we want to grow in Christ. We want to grow closer to Him by rejecting the things of the world and chasing the desires of God, chasing the will of God and His plans, His thoughts. Amen. Wow. Glory to God. Well, this makes me think. This Sunday, what will be taught in Sunday Pastor Michael? I have to check with him if he prepared a message. If not, then I have to prepare a message. But let me check. I can't believe it's Friday already. Can't believe it. But glory to God. Okay, anyways. Those were good application questions. I know it helps me. I know it helps you. I know that God has good plans for you all. So, as I pray, you guys can type any questions, any prayers. I'm here to interact with you guys. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for this word. Thank you for your guidance. Thank you for clarity. Thank you for giving me the ability to mentor, counsel young men and women, that you put me in their path so that we can build them up. And Father God, I pray that you would just be the holy vessel you would use me as a holy vessel to counsel my youth, to counsel my young adults, to allow them to experience you. to be steered towards the right direction and away from the pitfalls, from the traps of the devil. Lord God, I just thank you because it is your word that's alive and powerful. It is your word that makes us well and sets us free. So Lord, we commit to you to continue praying to you every day, reading your word every day, building your community. Yes, Lord, I thank you. And I pray that you continue leading each and every one here, blessing them, providing for them, giving them protection, wisdom, understanding, knowledge, discernment, all come upon them so that they may walk in your ways, not in their own understanding, but God's understanding. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Glory to God. God is good. Today, I know it's after 4th of July. A lot of people are sleeping. I hope you guys had a great Independence Day and that you are blessed and enjoying the things that God has provided for you. Enjoying the freedom, prosperity of the United States of America, which one day it will come to an end. But because it was founded on biblical principles, you know, we were able to thrive throughout the history. But yeah, because Jesus was taken out of the government, the school system, of the state, of the families, we can see a lot of brokenness. So we need Jesus back. Louisiana, Oklahoma, they brought Jesus back into their school system. And I praise God for that. That is, hopefully, every state would bring Jesus back into their school system. That will repair so many things, fix so many problems, and make life so much better. So we also need to bring Jesus back into our own life. Bring Jesus back and accept him as our Lord and Savior. Bring Jesus back to our family so that he would keep us unified, glued together. Bring Jesus back into our community. Bring Jesus back. Amen. Hello, welcome, welcome. Yeah. You think it's hot? It's 110 in Texas. Well, in Texas, you have air conditioning. In California, you don't. There's a difference. I lived in Texas for 5 years. When it's hot, it stays hot there. But we have AC, so we don't have to worry about the heat. Amen. Your baby looks a lot like you, Pastor Josh. Thank you. Maybe he is more like me, as he smiles more. Glory to God. Stella Ray says, amen and amen. Glory to God. Suki, hello. God bless you. Liz, God bless you. Uh-huh. There you go. People don't chase the wind. Chase Jesus Christ. Amen. Kimberly from Tennessee. Hello and welcome. Lady girl, hi. Abby, amen. God bless you. And Debbie, hello there. Faye, welcome. Thanks for the follow. Welcome. Thanks for the subscribe. It really helps the channel and the likes. Glory to God. Yeah, it's so good. Good to see. Good to see God working. And yeah, looks like it's almost 3 hours since I fed the baby. Should I just stand by, feed the baby? It's 3 hours. Hello, hello, Lily. God bless you. In Jesus' name. Jamie, God bless you. Have a good one. Hello, Lisa. Liu Jen, huh? 3 hours? Were you like this? No? Okay. Yeah. Are you hungry? Do you want food? Yeah, you ready for some food? There you go. You're thirsty. Sweating and all that. Pooping and all that. Afterwards, I need to change your diapers. Yeah. Hello, hello. Lisa. Yes. And Lily. Yes, what's up? My biggest fear is that he spits it out.
I don't have a cloth.
But he generally doesn't spit it out when I'm feeding him.
Just need to feed him a certain way. Yeah. But God is working. But just like a baby needs nourishment, needs milk, we as people, we need that spiritual milk, spiritual food, solid food. Amen. This is 3 ounces for a 2-week-old baby. I don't know if that's too much, but the book said it's okay. Hello, Justin. It says, I don't know what it is, but I have a calming peace in this life. Thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. You see, on TikTok, I have 30 people here live joining me. On YouTube, we got 30 people here as well. Normally, nowadays, the past few days have been 80, 100, but I'm assuming people are resting right now. But glory to God. This peace you feel, it is God's peace. He gives us everlasting peace. Amen. Someone, Lily asked, how old is your baby? My baby is 2 weeks old. Well, actually, 13 days old. And so, 14, 15? 14? 2 weeks old. All right. Renata says, hi. My wife corrected me. And then, hello, hello, welcome. I can't read the name. It says, My Ellie Niskimento says hello. Glory to God. Amen. God bless you. Mark McKinley Valenzuela. Valenzuela. Okay. Hello, your child is adorable. Thank you. God bless you. Blasey Tagum. God bless you. Amen. Wow. Park Mujin says, well, God loves all people. He really does. And the reason why people are dying all over the world in war, like Ukraine, Russia, Palestine, Israel, people are dying in Somalia, China, Russia, Taiwan, all over the world because of the brokenness, the sin of the world, which is leading towards ruin and destruction, which is leading towards somewhere that is not sufficient because of the sin that is in the world, the sin of greed, the sin of slothfulness, gluttony, envy, jealousy. These sins are the cause of the war. So does God care? God does care. God does not like war. So if you ask me, whose side are you on? I'm not on either side. I'm not. I love the people. And you ask me, really? Which side? I say, I just want people to stop dying. I want people to be able to live and have access to heaven, to eternal life, to life abundant. I don't want them to pass away. I want them to be able to experience God in their life, experience His grace, His mercy. You spitting. You're done. Good job. Yeah, that feels good, doesn't it? And so, yeah, what's his name? The name of this baby is called Noah. Noah. Lean him against me. Lean him forward. Pat him on the back. Yeah. Amen. So God loves you.
freedom. We want a free. We want freedom, and true freedom is only found in Christ Jesus, our Lord, our Savior. That's where true freedom is. So when you say free other people, you know, we need to teach the Word of God. We need to pray for them. We need to pray that they would accept Jesus as their Lord and Savior. Amen. Men Bara, Aseged, thanks for the follow. Loki, Michael, Mimi, thanks for the follow, guys. God bless you in Jesus' name, amen. Hello, Heart Football. Amen, God bless you in Jesus' name. Millie Stanley says, God bless you, Pastor. Where are you from? I am living in California, the Bay Area, one of the least reached or least churched region of the United States of America. Only 10% of people are churched. And so there's a huge need here for the Word of God to be spread. Amen. So, yeah, God is good. Oko Laste. That says, hello, God bless you. The Bay, yes, that's right. I'm a pastor here in Fremont, California, in church called Tree of Life Christian Church. Tree of Life, Lord's Harvest Christian Church. I didn't hear you burp yet. Yeah, you gotta let him burp so that he doesn't barf it out later. He said, born in Oakland and grew up in Antioch. Wow, that's cool. That Antioch is like 3 hours away from me, I think. Blasey Tegum says, I hope God can forgive me. Yes, God can forgive you. He forgives you when you confess your sin and you repent and you know, recognize your mistakes and you try to resist that sin. He forgives you. Amen. Larry Tosi says, hi, you're the best. You know, God is the best. Jesus is the best. We give him all glory to God. All glory, all honor and praise he deserves. And Sak Bai says, my son needs a job and I want full-time ministry work. Well, may God bless you and may you build your life upon the foundation of God and let him teach you, lead you, and build you up, prepare you. It took me years to prepare for ministry. Years. Amen. Hello, Nina B. Glory to God. Give him small massages on his back. Oh, there it is. He burped. That also helps him burp. Thank you, Daisy. He said, small massages. This is small massage. He burped. Thank you. Yeah. Hello, Pucker. Says, God bless. Jesus is the only way. Amen. Amen. Yeah. Amen. Glory to God. For he is good. And he never lets us down. Amen. So cute. What a blessing. People, when they saw the baby, they were like, looks like your wife. I'm like, really? Okay, that's great. And then they look at the baby and look at me like, I don't see anything resemblance between you and him. But right now, the only resemblance would be the red shirts that we're wearing. But it's okay. And then my wife was like, yeah, looks my, I mean, I look at him. I'm like, yeah, looks like his, my wife's dad. He's got that face. But then my wife said, well, when he smiles, he actually looks like you. And so he has big mouth. He's got big hands and big feet. He's strong. I'm pretty strong, stronger than most people. Baby's cute. Glory to God. Blasey Tegum says, I want to thank God because he's the reason that I breathe, I live, and why I am healthy. And I really want to thank God for everything. Glory to God. What a great testimony. Amen. Thank you. Hello there, Tuvar J. Good morning. Jeremiah, Jesus love you all. Luar says, glory to God. Jay, you can have a question. What's your question? Shoot it along as we are almost wrapping up. But then today, the prayer... Prayer for today, guys, is, Father, forgive me for all the times I was dismissive of your message or inattentive to your messengers. Give me a heart that is eager to hear from you and ears that pay close attention to your voice. In your son's name, amen. Amen. Cami, amen. Glory to God. Jay says, I've been telling God I'm going to read my Bible. I see where that's going. That's good. But then, what matters more is actually taking that action. You tell it, you say it, but if you do not do it and back your words with action, then how can we trust you with even more? So if you say it, then do it. But of course, make sure it's the will of God, and God wills to have a relationship with you. So reading the Word of God is so important if you really want to build a relationship and know who Jesus is. From Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, let Him show you the way of life. Amen. Rupa says, Saini says, your baby is VR. Very cute. Or virtual reality. Who knows?
It's real.
Real life. Amen. Larry, Philip, hello there. You look like a very evil person. Thank you. Well, you know, I follow Jesus. I don't let other people judge me and let the judgment affect me. Instead, I let God define who I am. So if you look at me, then that is up to God to define who I am. So stand tall, brother. Amen. Ichi. Jay, you gotta start. You start today. Lua says, please keep doing what you do. Pastor Josh Pan, thank you so much. Glory to God. Thank you, Philip. I don't agree. God is in control. Amen. So, we let God define who we are. And we don't judge people by their appearance, but by their heart. The looks are deceiving, and that's why we live by faith and not by sight. And also, whatever words I speak, you want to check the Word of God for yourself. Make sure it's correct. Make sure I'm not misleading you elsewhere. Because a lot of people are blindly following leaders, following people, being misled, led astray. And there's danger in that. So today's the day. You must check for yourself. Because if I give you a fish today, you won't be hungry today, but you'll be hungry tomorrow. And you'll have to come back for it. But if I teach you how to fish, then you won't be hungry for a lifetime. Amen. So cute, the baby. Kingsley, hello. Yeah, don't judge a book by its cover. Inside, know the heart. Know the heart. God looks at the heart. Not the appearance. He looks at your heart. And He wants your heart. And then when you give your heart to God, then He will honor it. He will bless it. And He will multiply it and give you way more than you can imagine. Amen. Mary Beth says, amen. You're awesome in Christ. Glory to God. God is good. All the time. All the time, God is good. Hey, Marissa. Great name. I love it. I love it. Yeah. It's nice being able to interact with you guys. It's nice to be able to see more and more people wake up at this time, too. I know I started early, but the word of God was heavy on my heart. And I was trying to decipher exactly how I approach this situation. How I walk in the ways of God. How I correct and rebuke others. By my own words, by my own thoughts, my own opinions, or by God's word. And it's found in God's word. His word is alive and powerful. So good. It's a tool for you to live your life in Christ. His word is so good. And so, that's why so many people just stay and listen and be like, wow, this is so good, so peaceful. This is what I need. It calms my soul. Allows me to live my life and to come out of the darkness, come out of anxiety and depression, come out of those things. God is the one that sets us free. Jesus is the way, the truth, the life. No one comes to the Father except through Him. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And the wages of sin is death. That death is an eternal separation from God. But God so loved the world that He sent His only one begotten Son. Whoever shall believe in Him shall not perish, but have eternal life. You shall not die. You shall not have that everlasting destruction, ruin, separation from God. Instead, have eternal life in Him. So we continue worshiping God, our King. Right, Luke? Zion, God is always working. Even when you don't see it, even when you don't feel it, God has a plan for your life. Glory to God. Angel, amen. Zara says, I was judged for my past, where the enemies used, where it died years back. I'm a new me. Amen. When you are in Christ, you are a new creation. The old has gone. The new has come. You're a new creation in Christ. No longer do you have to live in the past. No longer do you have to live in anxiety and depression. No longer do you have to live in fear, in shame, in regret. You now live in freedom in Christ. Amen. Hello, EJ Fears. Yeah. I think this is a great session. I love y'all. I know there's more to come. Thank you for joining me on this daily devotion. And we know that God will continue building you up, leading you towards the right direction. So we pray in Jesus' name for His protection, His love, His joy, His peace be upon you. And that you walk in His ways every day, every second, every minute, every hour. You praise Him all the days of your life. In Jesus' name, amen. Glory to God. Well, I'll see you next time. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. Panda out for now. See you next time.